DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
In Georgia, my name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation's recruiting insider, Jeff Sintel, for a very special edition of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, here the day before the cocktail party in Jacksonville tomorrow. What an incredible weekend it's going to be. Jeff, we've already heard from so many Georgia fans, both last night here at the resort, here this morning at the King and Prince. You know, the excitement about this rivalry once again is back at a fever pitch. I think it's incredible that this game means what it means once again here, and it's already been great to hear from so many Georgia fans who are chomping at the bit, no pun intended, to get back at those lousy, stinking Gators again tomorrow.
So did you get that? Chomping at the bit and lousy, stinking Gators? That's how Brandon does Georgia-Florida weekend every year, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. We are one day away. We do the Gatorator Countdown every single day here on the Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. We started at 364 days ago, and now here we are in St. Simon's, very, very close to the stadium there in Jacksonville, just one day away from Georgia, Florida. It's our Gatorator Countdown right here on Dog Nation Daily. And, Jeff, I think as we kind of transition here to the topic that's on the mind of Georgia fans here today, I think this game tomorrow comes at a really good time. Georgia needs to play some football again. It has been a little bit of a tense 2 weeks, I think, to be fair. You know, the LSU game for Georgia did not go well. We have relitigated that thing over and over and over again in the time since then. And last night, you come in as Connor Riley, our producer, and I were driving to St. Simon's. You reported DogNation.com detailing the decommitment of five-star running back John Emery Jr. That is another gut punch for many Georgia fans on the heels of the other five-star, Jaden Hazelwood's decommitment, on the heels of the LSU loss, on the questions about, you know, the direction of both recruiting and the product on the field here. This is a real challenge for Georgia to circle the wagons right now. Not even so much coaches and players, but fan base as well, to focus their attention back on a hated rival here and take the mind off of the fact that over the last 2 weeks, the news just kind of hasn't been all that good.
You know, Brandon, we definitely don't need to put this on a T-shirt, and I kind of say this, you know, a little bit, you know, joking or jovially or whatever, but some days it's starting to sound like decommitment daily, isn't
no,
it?
No, yeah. Listen, here's what I can promise you. We're obviously going to deal with the John Emery Jr. stuff. We have to. That's kind of our job here. But it's not going to kill my buzz. It's not going to harsh my mellow here about what is going to happen with Georgia and Florida on Saturday. And yet it is an unavoidable story here.
Sure.
So let's try to do both things here. Let's be happy that we are in paradise. This King and Prince Resort
that's
is
great.
Beautiful. The Georgia fans that are here, they're all in such a good mood. We got a bunch of folks watching us do the show right now. Everybody here is having a great time, and we're obviously going to be in that spirit throughout the course of our time here today, but we can't avoid the fact that Emery did decommit, and if people tune in on Facebook or YouTube, they listen to the radio later on or watching the podcast, if they know I've got you sitting right here, they're going to clobber me if I'm not asking you, Jeff, what in the world happened here?
Yeah.
You know, we heard from Emery not that long ago. You had a chance to speak to him exclusively not too long ago. Everything seemed fine. Was this really the LSU game? I mean, what happened for Georgia when it comes to John Emery Jr. here?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, and you mentioned a lot of things about it. And to me, when you start looking at this decision, to me, I think it did come as a surprise to a lot of folks, including those that are very close to John Emery Jr. And it's just funny, you know, I threw that, you know, kind of comment out there about decommitment daily, but look where Georgia has gone in like 2 or 3 years. I get mail. I try to interact and engage with folks on our forum and on Twitter and email a lot, and like it's funny how most of the questions now is, hey, Jeff, can Georgia get this yada, yada, yada five-star prospect, this incredible football player? And now the tone is, hey, Jeff, can Georgia hold on to this guy? What's up with this guy? And it's amazing. You know, Georgia still has 3 5-stars committed for the class of 2019. They've lost the commitment of 2 5-stars.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was interesting about that is there are only 4 teams in college football that have 2 5-stars committed, period, that would equal the 2 that Georgia has lost. And somehow is this the glass half full, or to use a Georgia-Florida vernacular, is the Bloody Mary half full, or is the Bloody Mary half empty? Because this is definitely not the world's largest outdoor sparkling water party.
Sure, and I noticed our buddy Michael Carvel, our producer back in our Atlanta studios, put the message from John Emery Jr. on our screen a moment moment ago. When you read that message from Emory, what you saw there was he uses the word patience in there. And he says something effective. I'm going to paraphrase here, that a decision might be the right decision eventually, but he wants to do his due diligence, his deliberate process to see that he gets there. If you want to be the most optimistic appraisal of that statement, it sounds like even on the heels of that decommitment, he's still going to consider Georgia. That is a very optimistic appraisal of what Emory said in his own message on Twitter when he announced his own news here about his decommitment. Is that too optimistic of an assessment in your mind?
Yeah. First, I want to go back to the first thing you said there, and I've got this on my phone because I was talking about this statement he made inside his notepad app and the note he had that went along with his tweet. And I want to just read it because I was having conversations with a lot of people about it last night. But this recruiting process has taught me patience, Emory wrote. Even though something seems right, and in fact, it may be right, it is always better to be careful, and time is a subset of being careful.
Yeah, that's a line right there that if you want to be the most hopeful, a Georgia fan can take some hope in that he's not saying, oh, I made a huge mistake and Georgia's not the right place for me.
Yeah.
That door seems to be left open by those words, but that may be too literal in an interpretation of what Emory has to say.
Well, first of all, I've been doing this for a little bit, more than a minute. I've never seen a decommitment. I've never seen a commitment that is quite as profound as that. Maybe Harry Miller, maybe one of those other valedictorian types that are just geniusbrainiacs.com. But the way he said it, he used the word subset, patience, and it's like, it may be right. That's a lot of interesting things. My own personal take on this right now and what I think is going on is I don't think it's the LSU loss, and I don't think it's how Georgia looked at LSU. I think somebody has gotten to him and started talking to him about Georgia is not not the best place for him. And the other way,
that's not necessarily a representative of another school, by the way.
Yeah, it could be anybody.
It could be a friend. It could be really, really anybody. It's not necessarily Ed Orgeron who's saying you don't want to go to Georgia. Louisiana is a hard state to get players to leave.
Yeah, and Georgia, those two guys, Micaiah Tung and John Emory, stand to be the only the second and third players Georgia has signed out of Louisiana this century. The other one would be Michael Chigbu. But, a lot of things to unpack there for me. And it's like, I remember sometimes the first read when you talk to recruits and you get to know them is usually the most important baseline. And I remember talking to John Emory and also reading quotes from John Emory. And he was really concerned about the fact he didn't need to be the number one guy, but he needed to be the number two or number three guy. He didn't want to get into a stacked depth chart environment, a stacked stable of backs. And, Del McGee is a great recruiter, and he had some great visits, probably, he told me, five to the University of Georgia. And then he felt comfortable with that. His family felt very comfortable with that. I think his father, John Emory Sr., was gaining on you in terms of the number of Georgia shirts that they have. And I think, man, you must be going 24, 25 deep right now.
Sure.
But to me, and then it's the other thing, and this is the tension thing you talk about right now. Like, when you hear Kirby Smart talk about how he wants to defend teams and combat teams in a big game on his Monday pressers, he says, I want to take away what they do best and force them to beat you with what they don't do best. And right now, I challenge everybody, because this is the thing that is talked about ad nauseum about Georgia football right now. And it's even, I think, greater than Justin Fields and Jake Fromm. I think it's, what does Georgia do best? What is their identity?
Sure.
Like, I think no matter what happens on the banks of the St. John's River tomorrow, if the Georgia fan walks out of that, or Dog Nation Daily walks away from that and said, you know what? We came at them with our very best. We came at them, maybe it involved Elijah Holyfield getting 24 carries and DeAndre Swift touching the ball 24 times and 10 targets to Riley Ridley. If you walk away from that game thinking, man, we tried, we gave it our best, maybe that's a little bit easier to manage the bile in your stomach that would happen after a loss. But the way the LSU game went down, everybody walked out of Death Valley thinking, I don't know if Georgia came out of that game where they shot their shot, so to speak.
Yeah.
They didn't come at LSU and try to win with the best tools at their arsenal.
That is Dog Nation's recruiting insider, Jeff Sintel. My name is is Brandon Adams. There is potentially some good news for Georgia in the recruiting front. I'll get to that in a moment. Let me push pause on our conversation, though, and remind you this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented by Marco's Pizza, and we are broadcasting in style today. We are resort casual here at the King and Prince Golf and Beach Resort in beautiful St. Simons Island, Georgia. No matter how you get to us today, we're glad you're here. Video, just like always, Facebook, YouTube, the Dog Nation Twitter feed at 10 a.m. We're still on the radio at noon with our friends in Athens on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and, of course, in podcast form wherever podcasts can be found. And, of course, none of this would be possible without our friends from Marco's Pizza, who invite you to take advantage of a great special offer, two medium, two topping pizzas at an everyday low price of $6.99 each. You can take advantage of that great offer by checking out marcos.com. Say hello, Primo, by enjoying some Italian, authentic Italian quality pizza at marcos.com. Two medium, two topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. Also, by the way, if you're jealous of where we are right now, you can also come check us out here at the King and Prince Golf and Beach Resort. We're going to do another broadcast here later on today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're anywhere near the Golden Isles here, come on and see us at 4 p.m. or make your own plans to be at the King and Prince sometime in the very near future. You can check them out online at kingandprince.com, or you can call 800-342-0212. That's 800-342-0212, and find out about some great deals and special offers the King and Prince has coming up here, both at the end of 2018 and heading into 2019. This is a beautiful beach resort right there in St. Simons Island, where we're going to be here over the course of the weekend before going over to Jacksonville for the game tomorrow. All right, Jeff, with all that said, let me give you one quick thought on Emory here, and then I want to talk about what could be some potential good news here. I hope that Georgia is not getting too cute with the national recruiting, because here's the one thing that's a little bit different with Jaden Hazelwood decommits. That's still a guy that lives in Atlanta. John Emery from Destrehan, Louisiana, when he decommits, when a guy like that flakes out on you, that's a long way away. It's a little bit harder to kind of go out there and calm those nerves. It's a little bit harder to kind of, you know, refute whatever negative recruiting you may be getting, even if the call is coming from inside the house, so to speak. It's a little bit more difficult to kind of go out there and calm all that down. This is where negative recruiting hurts you. If you ask me right now, more likely that Georgia regains a commitment from Jaden Hazelwood or regains a commitment from John Emery Jr., I'm going to tell you right now, for me, it's more likely Hazelwood, simply on the basis of the fact that he's in Georgia and it's just easier to get him on the phone.
You know, you used a term the other day that I liked, and you were talking about, you compared it to marriages, and you said it's sort of like if you made your wife mad,
right?
She's not divorcing you. Right. You might be sleeping on the couch for
right,
a couple
exactly.
of days.
Yeah, she's mad at me, but she's not committing to somebody else.
Yeah, that's sort of, I think Jaden Hazelwood's situation feels a little bit more like that, where he's got Georgia sleeping on the couch for maybe a couple of months. And maybe they're going to see what happens with all that. But, you know, there's just so much invested right now that, you know, Jaden's been to Georgia so much. He's got a connection with, well, still the guys that are on the team. It's kind of dwindling a little bit. But Emery, it was a shock, and it was funny. You know, those that were really close to him weren't sure, but you'll read later today on Dog Nation, because no matter how beautiful it is outside, Brandon,
this guy's still working.
I'm still working.
This guy's still working.
So,
yeah. So
everybody else is drinking their Georgia Bulldog cocktail, or they're having their French toast or their Bloody Marys, and it's an amazing view outside.
Yeah,
here.
It really
King
is.
Prince, check that box off if you guys haven't. That's how you get out of the doghouse as well.
Yeah, so no doubt about that. So as Jeff said, coming up in just really a few minutes here at DogNation.com, Jeff has spoken exclusively to John Emery Jr. since the decommitment. Now, he hasn't told me a word that Emery said. I'm going to have to read this just like you, but we'll look forward to reading that at DogNation.com coming up in just a couple of minutes. Let me also squeeze this in while we have some time here. Nolan Smith maybe gave Georgia fans some good news, because that's another five-star at times that Georgia fans have had some anxiety about, but he does tweet out here over the last 12 hours that he plans on attending the Georgia-Florida game on Saturday. He obviously attends IMG Academy, so he's going to travel over from Bradenton to Jacksonville for the game here. That's not an official recruiting visit, because you can't, you know, Georgia and Florida have agreed not to host at a game like this, but having him in the building is kind of a good thing, right?
Yeah, and you know, everybody remembers Nolan. Nolan was up just for a couple weeks back for the Vanderbilt week. He spent, I think, Wednesday to Sunday in Athens, and then he's going to go see the Bulldogs play again, and he tweeted out that he would be at the game. I think he even had hashtag loyalty, and Brandon, did that make your pulse feel a little bit better when you see a tweet coming out from Nolan
like
Smith?
I do like that.
And I mean, you know, one of those things these recruits are is they understand everybody should should make the very best decision for themselves. But, you know, Nolan is a guy. He is the senior commitment. He's been committed to Georgia. It sounded to me like he was going to go to Georgia forever in his recruitment. And he's been committed to Georgia since January of 2017.
That's exactly right. Jeff Sintel there, the Dog Nation recruiting insider. My name is Brandon Adams. It's a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. We're live here at the King and Prince Golf and Beach Resort in St. Simons Island, Georgia. Let me take a moment to speak to my producers here. We need to do our Kroger checklist. If you don't mind, let's push that back a little bit later on in the program because I want to make sure people understand what we're about to do next. I had a chance this week to speak to a terrific guest, Chris Doering, former Florida wide receiver, but also a terrific analyst for the SEC Network. Let's do our Kroger checklist after this because I want people to get a chance to focus in on Georgia-Florida on Saturday, what's going to happen on that field there between the Dogs and the Gators. Here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, let's catch up with Chris Doering. He's got some really interesting insight on how Florida has turned out to be better than we have probably thought they would be, what Georgia needs to do to bounce back from LSU, what we might see from Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. This is good stuff from Chris Doering here from the SEC Network. So enjoy that as a great preview of what's going to happen at the cocktail party on Saturday. And then after that, we'll have more here from the King and Prince in St. Simons here on Dog Nation Daily. Great to have you with us here today.
And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, let's get ready to welcome in the SEC Network analyst and former Florida Gator wide receiver Chris Doering back to our program. And Chris, if you don't mind, when I bring you on, I usually tout you that way. This week, I may hype you more as an SEC Network analyst than a former Florida wide receiver, given some of the anxieties in our audience about the rivalry game coming up on Saturday. But you understand what that's all about, right?
That's all right. I certainly understand what that's about, and I guess it means that this is a more competitive matchup, or expected to be a little more competitive matchup maybe than we've had the last couple of years. So I think that's a good thing for the rivalry. Sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I do mean this in all sincerity before we really get rolling here. That SEC Now program that you're on Saturday night in particular has become my go-to thing this year. I'm in Athens or I'm on the road where Georgia's playing and either getting back late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, and those extended SEC highlights that you guys do on there, I got to tell you, it's my favorite. You know, no disrespect to other ESPN Saturday night shows, but that's become my favorite one there where you guys really get in there and break down all those games. I love the extended highlights. I love the analysis. That truly is a lot of fun. So thank you so much for putting that out there.
That really means a lot. I can tell you, we really take pride in representing the conference, and we hear that a lot. The commitment to showing more of the highlights is really what the SEC fans want to see, so we're happy to provide that. And, I think it's become part of the ritual for a lot of fans, either coming home that night or watching the recap on Sunday morning is part of their routine, which we appreciate very much.
Yeah, no doubt about that for me. And you mentioned a moment ago Florida maybe being a little bit better than we would have anticipated before the season started. I'll admit they certainly have a higher ranking and a better record than I thought they would have coming into the cocktail party on Saturday. I mean, from your vantage point, what has been the one or two sentences that you would use to describe why Florida is probably better than many of the experts would have thought before the season began?
Yeah, I think heading into the season, I was concerned about a couple things. One, obviously, the quarterback position has been the Achilles heel of this program since Tim Tebow left. And you look back last year, Felipe Franks was not good at all, turned the football over quite a bit, was not effective throwing the ball down the field. Secondly, my biggest concern was the offensive line. And a lot of people talked about Florida returning all five starters from last year's team, but is that really a good thing when they were one of the leading offensive lines in terms of sacks allowed, 36 sacks last year? So those were two offensive concerns for me. And then defensively, this is a team that's graduated a bunch of players on the defensive line over the years. And you look at the success that teams have in the conference. We talk about it being a line of scrimmage league. Guys out of Florida may struggle a little bit because they were not as big or physical up front, but I think Todd Grantham's done a great job in utilizing the speed and athleticism to kind of minimize maybe some of the size deficit that they have on the offensive line as compared to some of the other SEC teams.
You mentioned Felipe Franks, and the overall numbers for Franks don't necessarily look all that dazzling, but when you watch him, I don't think there's any doubt that he's probably more comfortable working with Dan Mullen than he probably was in the Jim McElwain-led offense of a year ago. What has been your overall assessment of what Franks does? I know that Kirby Smart this week has talked a lot about those really good Florida wide receivers being something that Georgia's got to be concerned about, but how about Franks' ability to deliver the ball to those receivers? What have you seen from Franks this year?
I think overall, let me comment on the coaching staff and the job that they've done in general, specifically Dan Mullen offensively. I think he does a really nice job of maximizing the skill set of his teams and the players individually and minimizing some of the deficiencies that they have. And if you go back and look, against Mississippi State, I was worried about the mismatch on the offensive line versus Mississippi State's very talented defensive line. And what they do, they utilize a lot of quick passes to the receivers, a lot of swing passes to the running backs out of the backfield. They got the ball out of the hand quickly, which, you know, obviously neutralized the advantage that the defensive line had in terms of rushing the quarterback. It also forced those guys to kind of pace sideline to sideline. It ultimately wore them down a little bit, and that's why you saw Florida running the football with more success into the third and fourth quarters where they didn't have that success earlier. So I credit that the coaching staff significantly for the growth of the offense. And then as you talk about Felipe Franks, I've been impressed with the way he's become more judicious with the football. He was a turnover machine last year for the Gators. You look at this year, he's done a nicer job of picking his spots, not forcing the football into tight windows like he did last season. He's been more secure with the football in the pocket. He, you know, was really loose with it last year and fumbled quite a bit in the backfield. So I think those are the things that I've seen from him. And as you mentioned, this is a very talented group of wide receivers. The word I've used a lot in the last couple of seasons is potential. Unfortunately for Florida, they haven't really been able to turn that potential into realized success. But I think you're starting to see a little bit of that. I'd like to see a little bit more evolution of the passing game in terms of route combinations and the routes that you're seeing those guys run. But I do think I've seen some improvement in terms of allowing them to put their foot in the ground, play with more of the clamps, more of the dig routes, more of the in-breaking routes against single high and man coverages, which I think has benefited them in the last couple of weeks.
So let's transition to Georgia here for a moment, who obviously needs a big-time bounce-back performance after what happened against LSU two Saturdays ago. And most people remember what happened a year ago at Auburn, in which Georgia looked bad and then played better the rest of the season. Is it too simplistic to think that Georgia can flip that switch once again here heading towards November? Did you see some things in the loss to LSU that would leave you concerned about the Bulldogs here? It is a kind of a weird scenario for Georgia to play another big game on the heels of not looking very good in its last big game.
Yeah, I think, first of all, we're all kind of guilty of setting the expectation level for Georgia based upon how we remember them from the 2017 season. And let's not forget, you know, you lose eight starters on the defensive side. You lose Chubb. You lose Michelle. We still have a young quarterback. There were a lot of things that gave us some red flags that maybe the team wasn't going to be as good as the 17 version was, and that's not a crime. But I think we saw some of those things in earlier games, and Georgia was able to overcome those issues. But one of the biggest things for me, and you guys probably know this better, being closer to the program, is the health of DeAndre Swift. And we thought DeAndre Swift was going to be a guy that could help fill the shoes of not only what Kelvin Michelle did in the run game, but in the passing game. Such a good receiver out of the backfield. They can utilize him lined up in the slot. They can move him around and motion him to create matchup issues with the defense. And with his injury and limited number of snaps and limited number of touches that they've given him, I think that's made the offense a little less dynamic. So getting him back, getting him healthy during the bye week, and hopefully is a plus for Georgia's offense. Now, if your reports have been Cleveland back practicing too, that should help shore up the offensive line, which, you know, they were, you know, the number one rushing team in the conference. It didn't look like they had that same dominance on the offensive line that we saw last year. So I think those are some of the things that I point to, and actually had a chance to talk to DJ Shockley about some of his concerns on third down, particularly against LSU. And third down success is not just about converting on third downs. Really, it's more about the success you have on first and second down. I think that goes back to the run game and having success, being able to have some balance in the play calling and success in early downs, which can allow you to run more of the play action in the first and second down.
Let me bring you in on the quarterback conversation. I'm sure you're not surprised to find out that's been somewhat controversial here over the last 2 weeks. I'm a big believer that there's a good chance that Jake Fromm plays better against Florida than he played against LSU. Fromm proved a lot for me last season. And yet, Chris, even if Jake Fromm plays better, I think I would still like to see more of Justin Fields in a passing role than what we've seen for the most part this year, certainly the LSU game where he was only on the field as a runner. You're a guy that caught a lot of touchdowns in your career at Florida, and unfortunately some of those came against Georgia, but a lot of touchdowns over the course of your career. When you look at the Georgia quarterbacks, how do you see this situation right now?
Yeah, I think the thing that we have to remember, this isn't the NFL. In college, the 20-hour rule only limits you in terms of the number of hours you can have in the meeting room. It limits you on the practice field in terms of the number of snaps and the things you prepare for. So the more that you force a defensive coordinator, for that matter, any coach, to have to prepare for a wider volume of plays, the more difficult it is for the game plan to evolve into something that's really understood and allow players to play at a fast speed and just be able to react instead of thinking. So the more that you can create doubt and the more that you can force these coaches to chase ghosts, I think the better it is. And with Justin Fields, you have a guy that's not only adept at running the football, but a guy that has a really strong arm. Now the question comes in, how much does the coaching staff of Georgia trust him? How much have they been able to see him better grasp the offensive system? And I think that's the question that I'm most interested in seeing during the bye week. How much were they able to put in for him where he really looks sharp and feels comfortable in what they're doing? I expect to see him more than what we've seen him recently, although I don't know if there's any less that we could have seen him. I think everybody would agree that we would have liked to see more snaps from Justin Fields against LSU. But, at the end of the day, I expect Jake Brown to play better. I keep going back to that fourth quarter drive against Oklahoma. We're talking about a true freshman that led his team right down the field, that showed poise, that moved around in the pocket, that made some good throws. It's not like this guy all of a sudden doesn't know how to play football. So I think it's a matter of him regrouping and kind of getting his confidence back. And let's be honest, competition usually makes people like Jake Fromm improve their games. So I expect him to play a lot better this week.
You can find him on Twitter at Chris Doering. That's D-O-E-R-I-N-G at Chris Doering on Twitter. See him during the week on SEC Now on the SEC Network. Chris, anything else that we need to know about where we can find you here during the week talking college football?
No, the one place you won't find me, unfortunately, is in Jacksonville this weekend. I love this rivalry. I love the setting there in Jacksonville. I'll be up in the studio in Charlotte, but you guys have a good time there in Jacksonville, and hopefully you have a great night.
Chris, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it and hope you enjoy the weekend there in Charlotte. We'll look forward to watching you on TV, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, we're back here live at the King and Prince Golf and Beach Resort in St. Simons Island, Georgia. Really good stuff there from Chris Doering, who I think is just one of the top analysts there for the SEC Network. Interesting thoughts there on Georgia versus Florida and kind of how this game takes shape coming up on Saturday. And, you know, as I talked to Chris about, Jeff, earlier in the week, admittedly, Florida has a better ranking and a better record than I would have thought coming into this game. And yet, ultimately, my confidence in Georgia remains high. And I know that this is a weird game for Georgia fans, and that a lot of stuff creeps into this. You know, it's the memories of disappointing cocktail parties of the past. I get all of that. Trust me. I have driven back up 16 and 95 and all those highways just as many times as many of you had in disappointment. And yet that does not change for me. Even on the heels of a bad performance against LSU, that does not change for me the notion that this ought to be a Georgia win. As a 7.5-point favorite, whatever it is, that ought to be enough points for Georgia. I think they ought to cover this spread. I actually remain pretty confident in Georgia, despite the fact there's a little bit of hysteria around the fan base.
Well, I think there's a, everybody points to 42-7 last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've never talked about this, but how much do you think Georgia last year was 35 points better than Florida, or was there that everybody had kind of left Jim McElwain? You know, he had lost his team. There was rumors swirling about whether he would remain. How involved and how committed were the players to that staff?
Well, the Florida players will have you believe it was Doug Nussmeier's bad play calling and Jim McElwain's distractions about being fired. But frankly, that to me is excuse making on the part of Florida. Once again, I don't like the message, if I'm a Florida fan, that's coming out of that team here this week of, oh, we're going to truck Elijah Holyfield and we would have beaten him last year had it not been for Jim McElwain getting fired. I think that Florida player, and obviously I know that my objectivity here is probably not as high as it should be, but I think that Florida players live in a state of delusion when it comes to the comparison between Georgia and Florida. It's great that you beat LSU in your own stadium. Go play them in Baton Rouge and see how that turns out here. Yes, Georgia looked terrible against LSU, but the overall gambling market hasn't soured on Georgia very much. The analytics market hasn't soured on Georgia very much. The people who don't have a lot of skin in the game, who don't have a lot of emotional connection one way or another, they haven't turned tail on Georgia. Georgia, despite the fact that Georgia played a bad game two Saturdays ago?
Yeah, I would think about a couple of things. Number one, me being a guy that follows recruiting, you guys might know that by now, but like
Dog Nation's recruiting insider.
We do. We did something on Before the Hedges this week where I track every year before the Florida-Georgia game the talent disparity. And, you know, 4 and 5 stars are what they are, but it's largely the best players in the country everyone wants. And I still, if you would say the term double down, the Georgia Bulldog fans should double down and think about Georgia.
Yeah.
Has 67 of those 4 and 5 stars on their roster that they've signed since 2015. And Florida has 37. So that's a pretty big advantage. Where does that show
sure,
up?
Huge advantage.
Likely going to show up on special teams, likely going to show up in the fourth quarter when the Georgia, hopefully, you know, for Dog Nation's thinking that they will lay on Florida and then, you know, basically just wear them out. And the other thing that I would think most people need to remember as well is the LSU game, you say the term false positives a lot, yeah, or whatever. Let's remember, and let's just say this, if Florida goes 5 for 5 on fourth down or 4 for 4 on fourth down like LSU did in Death Valley, they're going to be hard to beat this weekend, but that usually never happens.
We're going to have more from Jeff Sintel, more of your comments coming up here as well in this very special edition of Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. Let me also take a moment here to do our Kroger checklist as we look in on some of the big events happening around Dog Nation tomorrow. Of course, for us on video, it starts around 1 p.m. tomorrow. We do our Kroger kickoff. We'll do the dog walk and then be live inside the stadium that I think of as the old Gator Bowl. It's got some other name now. But our Kroger kickoff coverage begins around 1 p.m. tomorrow with the dog walk. It's always a very spirited dog walk when it comes to Georgia, Florida. So check that out at 1 p.m. tomorrow. Game tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, you can watch it on CBS. You can listen to it on the radio with our friends at News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And then immediately after the game, we'll have our Northside Hospital post-game show immediately after the game from the inside the stadium there. So please check that out. Northside Hospital post-game show immediately after the game. Kroger kickoff immediately before the game. It's our Kroger kickoff right here on Dog Nation Daily. And by the way, speaking of Kroger, don't forget, check out Kroger's Ship if you haven't done so already. What a great way to get the essentials you need delivered right there to your door. And right now, as an incentive to kind of get going with this promotion, you have a couple great special offers. You can get 15% off your order. You can also get free shipping on your first order. So check out Kroger Ship at your local Atlanta Kroger if you have not done that already. And, of course, here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, you can check out the Kroger checklist every Friday right here on our program. Let me take a moment to pause here for our radio audience to let them know we've got plenty more Dog Nation Daily coming up. As we roll on, we'll have some of your comments here as well. It's great to have you with us here on the program today. And with that said, here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, let's keep the conversation going. You will notice that our buddy Eddie, who I guess had a bit of a late night last night. He was partying a little too much late last night. If you're on the radio or listening on the podcast, you don't see Eddie, the unofficial Dog Nation Daily mascot. But the blind squirrel that found a nut last year, according to a Dan Mullen, came back to Jacksonville looking for another one here this year. So he has finally woken up. You can't tell how bleary-eyed and sort of bloodshot his eyes are because of the fact that he's got the blindfold on. But trust me, it was a big night for Eddie last night.
I would say it is a frenzied squirrel, a rabid squirrel, maybe frothing at the mouth.
Sure.
Ready, hair is on edge down the base of his spine. He's looking for something to happen.
So really quick here before we get back to our regular content, some of the people who comment on our video show had noticed that when Jake Fromm had broken his hand back in the summer, Eddie put on a cast as a show of solidarity with Fromm, but I wrapped the cast too tight, and I couldn't get the tape off, and so I just never took it off. I just put the Gatorator sign on here and moved on. But a few people, astute Dog Nation Daily viewers, and there are a lot of those that notice every single thing, had noticed we never took the cast off, and they suggested that maybe Eddie with the cast on was a little bit of a bad voodoo thing for Fromm last Saturday against LSU. So you'll be happy to know, I talked to Ron Corson, UGA trainer yesterday. He was able to get the cast off of Eddie, and now Eddie's a full go here for Georgia, Florida.
So this is what you tuned in the program for. It wasn't quarterback rotation.
No.
It wasn't feeding Elijah Holyfield, the truck stick beast. It wasn't Dave Aranda's million-dollar defensive adjustments to confuse the Georgia front. It was Eddie, some blind squirrel voodoo magic.
That's exactly right.
That's why Georgia laid that egg last week in Baton Rouge.
That is exactly right. All right, so a lot of what I want to do here, I want to talk to you about, you mentioned quarterbacks. We'll talk about those a little bit. We'll get more comments here as well as we kind of roll on here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. Let me start with this. And, you know, if you look at our comment section right now, Jeff, and if you walk around the King and Prince, comments and talk to a lot of folks here over the course of the last few days, the one thing that you see a lot of is that there is still that curiosity about how it's going to play out with Jake Fromm and Justin Fields on Saturday. Some Georgia fans just simply didn't see enough of Fields against LSU, and there's even been, if you want to go back to Brad Nessler's appearance on Dog Nation Daily yesterday, there's even been some media criticism of bringing in Fields for just one play and then taking him back out. That particular thing doesn't seem to be working for much of anyone. It certainly doesn't seem to be working for the Georgia offense. It's confusing both media and fans here. One way or another, do you think that the quarterback situation for Georgia is more sensible on Saturday?
I think what they need to do is they need to make sure they protect their quarterbacks, whether it's number one or number 11 on first and second down. I think the recipe for Georgia to get a little sideways against Florida is catching a lot of those third and nines, third and tens, third and 11s for reasons we've kind of chronicled a lot on our shows. But, you know, the thing that comes back to me, and this is Georgia football, my comments earlier about what does Georgia do best, what is the strongest weapon that Georgia can bring on the table in this game in terms of game planning. The thing that still bugs me, or when you look at Georgia football and maybe the inconsistent play, is you look at Elijah Holyfield with 101 yards earlier this year.
But before we get to the Holyfield thing, because that's certainly something to be talked about, on the quarterback thing, what I'm hearing more and more is either don't play Fields at all, tell him you're the backup, son, and if you want to transfer, I'm sorry, you're not going to have to beat out Jake Fromm. Either tell him that or play him. At this point in time, Kirby Smart's got to make a choice.
Yeah, so like let's just break that down. So like if Vegas says this is a 7.5-point game, a touchdown game, Georgia fan that's clamoring and that's pounding the table that you want to see both quarterbacks and you want to see what the talented five-star can do, ask you this question. Is it worth losing the SEC East to see what Justin Fields can do on Saturday? Not saying that will happen. Not saying that the young man will get in and that moment will be too big for him and he might make a costly play. Let's remember, Brandon, we've seen Aaron Murray, a seasoned quarterback, David Green, a seasoned quarterback, come into the Georgia-Florida game, look up, try and call plays, and half the stadium is blue and orange and half the stadium is red and black. And that moment has been tough for them. It's been hard to get into yourself and just play ball. So when I mentioned Elijah Holyfield, I'm talking about the Georgia run game. The fact that Georgia has not had a running back with a team high of more than a 101 yards, that's the only 100-yard game for a Georgia running back this season. That should make the fan base go, what is going on here? Georgia gets to the eighth game of the season, the Georgia-Florida game, and they have a season-high total single season of 101 yards.
It's a baffling situation because the overall stats for Georgia offensively actually look pretty good. They're like seventh in the country in yards per play. I mean, it's insane to think that, at least from that metric, and that's one of the more important offensive metrics, Georgia's among the best in the country because when you watch them play, they're a total mess. Georgia offensively is a complete and total mess, and yet statistically, they're performing better than virtually everybody with the exception of Alabama and a couple Big 12 teams. I mean, it's insane how successful Georgia seemingly has been offensively, but when you watch it, where are those yards? Because they're not giving the ball to Holyfield. You know, I've joked on Twitter this week about, you know, wide receivers being asked to block. I mean, right now, a lot of Georgia fans are going to express that the offense is frustrating because the lack of decisiveness on the part of the quarterback situation for a lot of Georgia fans is just completely dissatisfying. The fact that Kirby Smart's trying to have it both ways, you know, playing Fields a little bit without fully committing to him, or mostly playing Fromm without it really explaining why Fields is not yet good enough to come into the game here, and then not giving the football to running backs and, you know, some of the things you mentioned. There is a lot of frustration on the part of Georgia fans about the current nature of the offense, even though statistically speaking, it actually looks okay.
It makes you want to – I can understand the tension that everybody uses right now because you use the word satisfying and frustrated. Well, the frustrated checklist, the click list for frustration would kind of go like, okay, inside linebacker play, where are those guys? The nose guard play, is that subpar play? What's happening at wide receiver? Who's the guy that can consistently win on one-on-one coverage and against press man? Do you see the best of DeAndre Swift on a weekly basis? this yet? Why aren't they giving the ball to Holyfield more? It's almost like they're trying to, you know, like let's say this King and Prince here, this world-class type resort, has a fabulous buffet out there, and you've got Georgia's offensive lineman coming through, and they're only taking two bites of everything. It seems like Georgia is trying to have a little of this, a little of that, a little of that, and they don't know exactly what they are. I want to know this from you, Brandon. What is the most satisfying part of the Georgia football team right now? Is it going to go watch Hot Rod kick a field goal or something like that?
The most satisfying part is the anticipation that I have that tomorrow's going to be better. That is literally the entire story. The satisfaction that I have right now is my confidence that while it has not been good for most of the season, that I still believe the best is yet to come and tomorrow's going to be better. But, I mean, I get thousands of comments a day from Georgia fans in terms of what they feel about the team. And right now, I kind of feel the same way, that while I still feel like this season's on path to be a very good conclusion for Georgia, Kirby's got to pick a quarterback. And if he's not going to play Fields more, then he needs to explain why. That Jake Fromm's the quarterback. They've performed at practice, and Fromm has beaten out Fields. And we all know what's at stake if you go against Fields. And Kirby Smart, in you know, so many terms, he needs to say, that's the choice I'm willing to make. Because right now, if we played Emmett, to use your phrase, and Eric Moody in our Facebook comment section reacted to you on this, it would cost us the East. You know, if we played Fields, it would cost us the East. That's why we're not playing him. Well, if that be the case, then you don't need to play him at all. Don't play him for one play, because that's messing up the Georgia offense.
But then you got to get him ready to play, Brandon, because in case
one play is not getting him ready to play.
Well, and one other thing, it's satisfying. I had to search through my brain during that great monologue you had right there, talking about all the things. You got to remember, these are four feel-good things that still remain about Georgia football. Number one, it's automatic in the bank that Rodrigo Blankenship will kick the ball out of the end of the end zone. Number two, it is automatic that Kirby Smart will look like the most invested person on the Georgia football team, winning and dying with every play, getting mad, coaching up, encouraging. Number three, Andrew Thomas is going to make some very big blocks, and he's going to do his job very well. Number four, the man that I think gets forgotten, and I would say still a very satisfying piece of Georgia football, is DeAndre Baker.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
DeAndre Baker is playing that position as well as anybody has played that position for the University of Georgia, including a man that you'll see in Jacksonville tonight, Champ Bailey. I mean, Champ Bailey's an all-time great, but some of the stats that DeAndre Baker is putting up, you see Pro Football Focus putting him in as a top five draft prospect for the 2019 NFL draft. There are some things about Georgia football that they should still build wins upon.
All right, before we say goodbye to our podcast audience and our radio audience, let me remind you of a couple things here. I've been telling you all week long that my bookie, the only sports book that we would, online sports book that we would recommend here at Dog Nation, they are getting ready to do away with their dollar for dollar match, their 100% bonus. This is the last week that you can get that. So you got to go right now, find my bookie online, MYBOOKIE. Find them online. Use the promo code Dog Nation, all one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be, DAWG. And your first deposit can be matched dollar for dollar. So if you want to get some action down some games this weekend, this is the time to do it, because after kickoff on Sunday, I've been told that the dollar-for-dollar match is going away. So make sure you take advantage of that great offer if you have not done so already. You can also follow MyBookie online at BetMyBookie. They've given away a lot of free money there to their followers. They also respond back, and they're pretty active on social media. So follow them on Twitter and on Instagram at BetMyBookie, and you can get connected with the only sports book that we would recommend here at Dog Nation. You play, you win, you get paid. It is as simple as that with MyBookie, and act now to take advantage of the dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit when you use the promo code DOGNATION. Let me also say this, that we have been treated so well by the King and Prince Golf and Beach Resort here today. We're looking forward to another great event later on this afternoon. So if you're anywhere near the Golden Isles, come back and see us at 4 p.m. this afternoon. We're having a really good time with our Gator Hater preview, looking ahead to Georgia, Florida, some of the great highlights from the UGA Vault. That'll be a part of our show. Jeff Sintel and I kind of, you know, just kicking back, relaxing, and just sort of talking about everything going on with Georgia football. That's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, if you want to see more of what's going on at the King and Prince for your own big trip, check them out online at kingandprince.com or give them a call at 800-342-0212. The number, once again, 800-342-0212. And the website is kingandprince.com. On video, we've got more of your comments coming up. But for our radio audience, let's get ready to say goodbye. For our podcast audience, we'll see you again on Monday. Thanks so much for being a part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, here today live at the King and Prince Golf and Beach Resort in beautiful St. Simons Island, Georgia. All right, on video here, let's get ready to take some more of your comments and kind of keep things rolling on. We had to take care of our business with our other broadcast there, but on video, we got some time to keep rolling with some